show rolling on at Talk Radio 930 WTAD. And we are going to speak today to members of the Tri-State Veterans Support Group. Jesus Delgado is here, and he's going to tell us a little bit about himself, along with Richard Elson-Peter. Jesus, quit scrolling through your social media. Tell us all about yourself, please. And put your microphone so that you're right on top of it, looking. Look at, no, get so that your gunner sight. You know how to do a gunner sight. They'll put me in your gunner sight. There you go. Oh, my gosh. You know, I thought Chuck and Jack were crazy, but now I've got Richard and James here, and I just don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know what's going to happen either. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. So, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you are involved in Tri-State's Veterans Support and together with Tri-State Veterans.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Jesus Delgado. I am the commander for the American Legion. I work with veterans every day. And I got together with Richard, and we decided that suicide prevention was important. We figured out the VA system's kind of broken, and the Tri-State area needed help to try and boost and get rid of the stigma where people cannot ask for help when they have mental health issues.
You mentioned that the VA system is broken, and we don't want to turn this into a political discussion, but the VA system's been broken for quite some time, and yet we always have every president saying, oh, we care about our veterans, we're going to make that our top priority, and yet we hear less and less about it. In fact, you know, in this very election year, what have we heard much about veterans and their needs from either side of the political party? So what is it going to take to fix that VA system that's broken?
Well, Mary, so one of the things that Jesus and I have seen is just that. I believe we cannot necessarily depend on the government or government agencies to fix problems. As Ronald Reagan put it one time, you know, the government is the problem, it's not the solution to the problem. So Jesus and I have just always believed that the resources and the things that our veterans need, we have to find them locally. We have to do them locally. We can't depend on somebody in a white, you know, a white horse and a white hat to come rescue us. As veterans, we are very self-dependent and we are very self-reliant, and we figure we have to just do it ourselves. So.
And even if the VA system was perfect, Columbia, Iowa City, they're far away. We do have a VA clinic here in Quincy, but, you know, again, it's not readily accessible. Well, yes, it is, mm-hmm. but, you know, there's still a limited number of staff, et cetera. So this was literally a peer-on-peer counseling. That's what this Tri-State Veteran Support Group is about, because we've talked about this over and over again, how veterans are more likely to talk to other veterans about their problems than to somebody who may be under the auspices even of the Veterans Administration, but perhaps hasn't served or hasn't had a similar background experience. Can you speak to that, Jesus Delgado?
That is correct. I'd rather talk to Richard or another veteran than I would a white coat. We've had coffee clutches there at the American Legion Post where we've had veterans come in because they could not talk to anybody else. And like Richard said, it takes a peer-to-peer with another person that's actually experienced that to be able to understand what they're going through. And with that being said, we pretty much, Richard and I, we leave it to the veteran to get back into the military mode where now we depend on him to get help, just like he depends on us to give him help. And it works both ways. It doesn't matter what branch of service you were in.
We make fun of them all.
Yeah, we
do. Yeah, the camaraderie.
The camaraderie. It's always there no matter what branch of service you're in. And we seek each other out.
Yeah, it's like as the Marine Corps says, we love the guys in the Navy. Every time we need to go somewhere to fight, you always give us a ride.
Yeah, I make mention that we are the men's department of the Navy.
The men's department of the Navy. Okay, but, you know, it's interesting because, okay, I can go to the American Legion if I'm a veteran, and I can sit around and have breakfast and coffee there and chit-chat with my buddies and feel their support and have them know that they understand what I'm going through, but you can't prescribe me an antidepressant medication. So how do you then encourage folks to go and get professional help, whether from the VA or from a private provider, because like you said, nobody wants to talk to a white coat necessarily, but we do sometimes need medical intervention.
That is true, but sometimes it might not be medicine that we need. We just need to talk to somebody.
Talk therapy can work.
And sometimes if you go to the American Legion, yeah, you go eat breakfast, you talk. Sometimes just by talking to somebody that's there, you're okay. You don't actually have to go talk to somebody and get medicine and whatnot. Sometimes you just want somebody to hear you, understand you, know what you're going through, and then have the same, hey, I'm not the only one that's feeling this way. This other person I've talked to is the same way. And then that grows a friendship to where, you know what? I have put my pride aside to go get help. Let me hold your hand, and I will be there for you every step of the way. And that brings in Paul Havermill, who was here last time, who does the back. He is also a member of the American Legion. He's also a member of the Tri-State Veterans. And we take that veteran to Paul, and Paul guides them through the process of receiving benefits and getting help.
So they could get housing or clothing or, maybe they need some food distribution or just that, you know, maybe they do need medical intervention and support. But it's got to start with peer-on-peer counseling. Like you said, you can't rely on the government to do everything for you.
That's correct.
Even though it's interesting because all the veterans came out of the government. The government saying, you joined us voluntarily now. We're all volunteers at this point in time. You know, everybody who was drafted is gone. That generation has sailed.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that you volunteered to do. You went into the military. You gave up some of your civil rights and your liberties going into the liberty. You certainly can't crab about who the president is because he's the commander in chief. And yet when you come out, you don't want the government to help you. It explain that to someone like me who's never served, Richard.
Because we are so close, because we are a brotherhood, we are very distrusting of a lot of things. You know, so we trust our brothers. We know that our brothers have our back. We know they have our six. So a lot of times, veterans are always very self-reliant on themselves and their service to give them and do the things they need to do. But you never want to be the weak link. You don't want to let your brothers down. You don't want them to go off on patrol and you stay behind because I got a headache today and I wanted to go to sick call. You go. You know, you just forget about the headache. You just go. So what a lot of times the veterans do is they don't want to open up. They don't want to feel like they're vulnerable. So they don't want to go talk to the white jacket. They don't want to go ahead and go to see services. They don't want to, you know, I'm tough. I can hack it. I can take it. I I'm okay. I'm all right. So what we try to do is, as a peer-to-peer, as somebody you can go and talk to, you can go to the American Legion, you can have breakfast, you can be around your brothers and sisters again, you can tell each other war stories, you can go ahead and, rib each other on things. But then by sharing those experiences with each other, by talking to each other, you can help guide and say, it's all right. You know, I've went and seek counseling. I've had problems. I've had some mental health issues. I've had, so you can go ahead and let them know and that it's all right to go out to the VA clinic. Now, the VA clinic out here in Quincy is wonderful. There's some wonderful, loving, caring people that, you know, will take care of you. Going to Iowa City or down to Columbia to the hospitals, there are some great people down there. There are some great services down there. But you have to get them there.
Right.
They have to trust them. They have to believe that they are actually going to help them. So by coming in, sitting down, talking peer-to-peer to each other, you can open up a little bit. As I said, if you put me in a room full of truck drivers and talking truck shop, I don't have a friggin' clue what they're talking about. You know, you put me in a room full of veterans and we start talking, I can open up. I can be more myself. I can go ahead and, be a little bit more vulnerable. And those brothers then can guide me or help me move to the next step.
Because a lot of people are experiencing the same things, just in different, maybe varying degrees of it. But I imagine anybody who has served has some very small level of post-traumatic stress disorder, just from, just being away from your family. I don't care if you were a file clerk, in New Brunswick, New Jersey, you know? I mean, you know, I mean, again, and I think that's the other thing. You know, so many people, one of the things I do, I have a little side job, I won't go into that, but one of the things we have to ask people is, are you a military veteran? And they're like, well, yeah, I am, but, you know, I didn't really do anything very much, so I don't want any, you know, I don't want my VA, I don't want a plaque on my tombstone or anything like that, because I don't really deserve it. So many people, you know, well, I didn't do much, you know, I'm not a hero, so I don't deserve any recognition. I understand where that's, you know, talking with you guys, where that's coming from. Even though every single person is entitled to have that, it is not, there's no merit based, it's just, did you serve? But a lot of people, well, I was a veteran, but, you know, I made it back, or, you know, they always want to minimize their service.
I know veterans that have been deployed that will say, I'm not a veteran. I'm like, how are you not? He says, well, I didn't go, you know, I was behind the lines. I wasn't up in, you know, in the front lines and all that. I was, you know, medical services in the back. You know, I was stationed in Germany. I wasn't in Iraq or anything, or, you know, and I'm like, you're still served. You okay. Still signed the contract. You didn't decide where you went. Uncle Sam decided where he needed you. So you were needed. Yeah, I was a reservist. You know, I never went anywhere. I was just, you know, but you still wore the uniform. Uncle Sam decided that you didn't need to go here. You know, so it is one of those, again, that veteran mentality of my brother deserves it more. Take him, take care of him, let him go to those services. You know, I'm okay, I'm all right.
I think we need to get more of you guys to say, my brother deserves it more, but if he won't go, I'll go with him. So maybe that's how we get everybody to go in two by two to get all these things. We're talking today with Jesus Delgado, the commander of the American Legion Post here in Quincy, and with Richard Elsenpeter. Richard, you've been on the show now for a lot of months, and it's amazing what you've been able to accomplish. I don't know if we can tick off all of these 20, you know, top 20 things you've done, but, I mean, really, this group, I guess the most important thing you did was get the Veterans, you know, Affairs Commission, the VAC here in Adams County. But talk about some of the things that your group's been able to do, and then we'll talk about things you still want to accomplish. But give us the, like, maybe your top 5, 10 highlights.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know if I have a top five, you know, but it amazes me is that when we started the Together as Tri-State Veterans, we were given a 3-year contract that we would fulfill, that, and we made a top 8, you know, a list of 8 things we wanted to accomplish on those. And I know some of those, you know, we wanted to create a veterans resource guide or a map, because veterans didn't know. There's a lot of veterans resources, but when you look at them in the state of Illinois, so many of them were Springfield, Chicago, Joliet, you know, they were far away. So
right.
It was very difficult for veterans that were having PTSD or depression issues. It's hard for them to get out of their house, more or less call somebody in Chicago and ask, you know, said, hey, I need help with this or that. So we wanted to create a veterans resource guide that gave veterans locally a place that they can go. Then we took those resource guides, we made a resource rack, and we put those resource racks in about 26 different places around Quincy. We also have them in 4 different places in Missouri. We have them in Mount Sterling, Golden, Pittsfield, so veterans can actually see those resource racks. We distribute our gun locks, you know, out, you know, throughout. We created the monthly radio spot here with you that we can come in and talk about some of these issues every single month. We can talk about some of these issues. We support our support guide. We created the Adams County VAC. We prevented the PSAs that we have on the radios and TV spots.
Yeah, and those are great.
Well, they are, because same thing. So many times when I was talking to people locally about veterans issues, homelessness, food insecurity, suicide prevention, so many times people are like, oh, well, that's not here. You know, I saw that commercial with Mark Wahlberg. Oh, that's a New York problem. That's a Chicago problem. That's St. Louis. We don't have homeless veterans here in Quincy, because we don't see them sleeping on the park, you know, in the park benches at Washington Park. But there are veterans that are homeless right here in Quincy. There are veterans that are committed suicide right here in Quincy. You just don't hear about it. So we wanted to bring PSAs that were locally made with local veterans. So when people looked at the TV and said, well, shoot, I know him. I went to church with him, or I went to work with him, or I did this. I served with him in the VFW. To say that I've seen the darkness. I've lived in the darkness. I know my demons. So people, it brings it home. Yeah, so I think those are some of the things that we've done that we're very, very proud of. So, Jesus, your thoughts as far as some of those other things?
That the PSAs have worked. I have had many phone calls to where I have people or veterans that open up and say, hey, I saw the PSA. Can you help me?
Great.
And it's like, yeah, let me get you in contact with whoever. Where are you at? I'll meet you here for coffee. We'll talk a little bit. And then we'll go see him, somebody. And I have taken him to the clinic. I have taken him to the, I recommend him to the back. Paul's come down to down to the Legion if they don't want to go anywhere. All right, let's go to the American Legion. I'll buy you, you know, a cup of coffee. If you want a beer, I'll get you a beer. We'll sit down and we'll talk. Tell me what's going on. And then I'll call somebody to come in here. Mark Philpott is one of the ones there where, and he's helped a lot. He's in the PSAs, and whenever I needed something, I've called Mark. He works with the mental health department here at Blessing Hospital, and he's been a lifesaver many a times. And I know he doesn't want recognition for it, but he's been a great help when I needed it.
Yeah. Well, all the people that I've met through this monthly program that Richard has brought in have just been fantastic, and I think that's the key. It is a local problem, and it's going to take a local solution. And we've got a group of people here who are working very hard for that local solution. We're going to take a break, head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening on the farm markets today. This report is brought to you by Purple Wave Auction and by Pioneer Seed Company. Stay tuned. State Street Bank Trust Services. 9:41 our time. My guests today are Jesus Delgado, the American Legion Post Commander here in Quincy, and Richard Elson-Peter. We're talking today about suicide prevention and veterans programs in general. And the basic commentary is we've got to do it ourselves. And Jesus Delgado is on the front line of that when it comes to peer-to-peer counseling. So if you've got problems, just stop by the American Legion Post, look up Jose, and, you know, unburden yourself if you want to, or say, hey, I feel this way. Does anybody else feel that way? And you'd be surprised. A lot of people feel that way. So nothing to... He's showing me a picture. I will look at that later. Don't distract me while I'm trying to be serious. I want to learn about adrenaline racing. Yeah, the man who's a big tough Marine shows me a picture of him dressed like a unicorn, and I'm supposed to carry on my broadcast profession here. Let's talk about adrenaline racing. What the heck is adrenaline racing? Because sometimes my adrenaline is racing. When Jesus is in here and I have no control over a situation, my adrenaline starts to race. But that's not what that's about, is it?
Well, it says, you know, I work a lot with veterans. I get a lot of emails. I get a lot of them. Yeah, newsletters, and one of the newsletters talked about motorsport, veterans motorsports, and it talked about how when a veteran is deployed, when they're activated, when they're overseas, they live on adrenaline and caffeine. Yeah, that's what they live on. They live on the camaraderie and their brotherhood. When they get out, they no longer have that. They go home, they're just kind of feel lost, they're not sure what to do. So veterans motorsports was started to put veterans into racing cars to give them that camaraderie. So their pit crews are all veterans. The driver's a veteran. The car, you know, the mentality of we're going to win, you know, is reestablish that camaraderie. I'm like, this is very cool. I said, how do we establish this here in Quincy? How do we bring this to the Quincy area? So I contacted the Quincy Raceways, went out there and was talking to them. They loved the idea. So we started talking about how do we get veterans to come into the, you know, for 2025, put veterans butts in seats out there. So when we were talking about this, they said, well, that's great, but we want to do something still for this year. We still want to do something for 2024. So we came up with the Adams County Speedway. You know, we created four veterans nights. So every, you know, in July, August, you had an Army Appreciation Night, an Air Force Appreciation Night. They wanted to add a fifth one, so on September 1st, there was all veterans got in free that night. So that was a way of trying to establish connective veterans with the race community and the race community with the veterans. But then we want to expand that in 2025. So we are creating a larger system where veterans can come, sign up, Doesn't cost a thing to sign up. We just come in, get a sheet, put your name on it. We assign you a number. And you have coupons that you every week you can come out to the races with this coupon and drop it in the bucket. And then at the end of the season, you have a chance to win a door prize or, you know, the grand prize for coming in. So we thought this was very cool about how do we connect the veterans with the race community. That old phrase that I remember, walking through the motor pool at 6 o'clock in the morning, smelling the diesel fuel. Love the smell of diesel fuel in the morning. Yeah, that's a veterans thing for sure.
Napalm in the morning.
Yeah, so.
It's Rizzo. This is what you call a vehicle from MASH. This is what you call a vehicle. Oh, yeah, I'm coming. I'm awake. Cajun man. That's so great.
So. But
yes,
then,
General, I got your Jeep right here. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But then we wanted to go ahead and actually put veterans into a race car. And I know that some of those cars are very technical, they're very expensive, and I knew that it would be very difficult to go ahead and put, you know, just Denny Woodworth with his number 45, you know, late model, is not going to let just some yahoo get into his car and drive it around the track. So.
And by yahoo, he of course means Jesus Delgado.
Yeah. Well, that would be me.
So we're going to go ahead and build a Crown Vic, get in the Crown Vic class, because my understanding of the Crown Vics, it costs $2,500, you know, $5,000 to build a car and build a team. So we are going to build a, you know, build a racing team. So we'll have a driver that's a veteran. The pit crews are all going to be veterans. We're going to build a Crown Vic, and we're going to put it into, you know, the Crown Vic class out of the Quincy Raceways next year. So I think that's very, very cool, because it actually gives then the veterans that are in the stands that are enjoying the racing, enjoying the smell of the diesel and the racing and the, you know, adrenaline of the racing, is actually give them a car that they can root, you know, root
for. They can root for.
They can root
for.
That is my, you know, that's my guy.
That's my guys that are driving the car. And maybe the pit will be open and they can come down and, you know, learn a little bit about that or something.
Well, this is, and we have the American Legion is going to be a sponsor. They're going to have their logo on the car. The VFW is, the Marine Corps is. So we are approaching veterans-owned businesses in Quincy to be sponsors for this. And it's getting a very big reception. There's been a lot of reception that of getting veterans out to the racetrack and getting them behind the car. And I know in I know for a fact, if we get a veteran's car next year, the Marines are going to want a car of their own. The Navy is going to want a car. So then we're actually going to be able to rib each other and like, we kicked your butt this week.
Yeah,
you know,
dragon rights.
Yep. So we will have. You know, if in a year or two, we will have a Marine Corps car. We'll have an Army car. We'll have a Navy car. We'll have an Air Force car. You know, that are actually going to be on the track competing against each other. So I see this as a very positive way of getting veterans to have that camaraderie and come out and just enjoy being with each other out of the racetrack, enjoying those, you know.
Okay.
The fun of that. So,
Jesus Delgado, the American Legion, is going to be sponsoring this. So you basically take a road model Crown Vic and you soup it up for for stock car racing. And then you put all the logos and everything on side. And, of course, it's not racing without some rubbing. So, you know, you have to have somebody that can do a little bit of body work every time, too. Because, I mean, fenders are going to go flying and tires are going to go flat.
Duct tape works great.
Okay.
Super glue and duct tape. Super
Until glue. We get to NASCAR level budgets, super glue and duct tape will be holding
and
together.
The cardboard box will work too.
You know, is there something like there's a dichotomy that the tough veteran's car is a Crown Victoria? Can it just be a Crown Victor? I mean, really?
A Crown Vic?
We'll
just call it Vic.
I have an announcement to make. Hey.
Well,
we don't discriminate.
Veterans come from all walks of life.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Some of them want, don't ask, don't tell for the Crown Victoria. Well, so this is going to be happening in 2025. And so, again, if this is something that you're listening or going, you know, I don't really know if I want to be involved with these people, but I think I could talk a little bit about some of my problems to some of them. How can they just call the American Legion?
They can call the American Legion. My number, Richard's number, we have a phone that they can call, a phone number they can call it in all of our pamphlets. They can call the VAC. If they want to get a hold of me, they got to get a hold of Paul, Richard. There's our numbers out there.
Okay, so there's a lot of chance. I mean, this is going to start happening in the spring, right? I mean, this is a...
We're working on it now.
So now yes. You're going to get the car together. You're going to start practicing running the car. You're going to start practicing souping up the car and getting everything ready because you've got to get a pit crew and a support crew and, you know, you've got to get all kinds of support people to help you with this.
Right. If you like the program, if you want to be a part of the program, definitely get a hold of us. If you want to be a sponsor and get your name on the car, get a hold of us. If you want to be a corporate sponsor and get your name on the tent and, on the uniforms and, things like that, get a hold of us. So we are looking for veterans to be part of the pit crew. So if you know about vehicles, body work, if you know about, automotive work, if you know, muffler work. I know there's no mufflers on race cars, but if you're a glass person, again, I know there's no glass in a race car. But, if you are, have a business and you want to be a part of this, let us know.
And are ready to just have a good time and go out and mingle with other veterans.
That's
basically what it is. It's just to get you to come out
and
have a good time.
You're going to need rooters in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So for this next year, 2025, we'll all be together. And then in 26, all hell's going to break loose because the Marines and the Navy and the Air Force and the... Will the Space Force be involved?
Will they be down in
some kind of alien...
They'll probably be driving a space shuttle around in circles or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, they can't be confined to the track. They'll be hovering over it. Okay.
Do you remember those little...
They'll be flying drones.
Riding toys that used to be outside Kmart. Like, you put a quarter in, that's what the Space Force will be in, a little space shuttle just with their helmet on and goggles or whatever.
Never invited Marines to be on the Mary Griffith Show. Not even one dressed like a unicorn. I'm taking a break right now because I'm going to see this picture of Jesus Delgado dressed as a unicorn.
Oh, I'm not dressed as a unicorn. I'm holding,
You're holding a unicorn. He's hugging a unicorn. Something you thought you'd never see a Marine do, but it's all for a good cause, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. We'll be back. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We're talking about Adrenaline Racing Team. It's going to be at Quincy Raceways next year, and look for the 2025 local veterans car put on by Together with Tri-State Veterans. It's going to be fantastic, and if you want to get involved, just call the American Legion or the Veterans Affairs Commission here in Quincy. We also are going to preview something that we're going to talk about in months to come, and that is the fact that when people retire from the military, they've been on such a great mission of service, and they want to continue to serve their community. And I'm making fun of Jesus Delgado because he showed me a picture of himself dressed up in his official Marine uniform, looking very, very tough and very, very warrior-like, except he's hugging a giant stuffed 5-foot-tall unicorn, which kind of makes him look like a powder puff. Why would a big, rugged Marine like you, Jesus, be seen hugging a unicorn? There must be a good cause behind that.
There is, and the cause for that was Toys for Tots. Toys for Tots has grown pretty big in the past 2-3 years here in West Central Illinois. We've expanded thanks to Jessica Humke, who will hopefully be the guest next month for it. She has promoted Toys for Tots and helped so many kids in the community, and we raise so much money for it. I was in uniform. I'm usually out there in my uniform to collect toys. We've had the only reason it's funny. There was a lady that wanted to donate money last year, and she did not want to give her check or money to a Toys for Tots person. She was looking for the man in uniform because she didn't believe that they would get it.
And she wanted to trust the uniform was there to collect money.
I'm there in uniform, and people come up and they hand me that because back in the 80s there was a commercial where this little boy walks up to a Marine and asks him, "Are you Santa Claus?"
Right. It still runs.
And he was devastated until the Marine put out his hand and the little kid gave him his wish list.
Yeah.
And that's where Toys for Tots comes in.
Because this Marine is standing at attention. He's not.
Yep.
It's kind of like the guards at Buckingham Palace.
It
I'm not supposed to acknowledge you in any way, but suddenly that white glove comes open like, okay, give me your wish list. I am Santa Claus. I can't talk to you right now, but I'm going to make sure Santa gets your list.
And that's where the me hugging the unicorn comes from. That Marine made himself available for his children to make a dream come true. And with my picture with a unicorn that I know... The Toys for Tots people put it everywhere. Allows, hey, he's not so tough. He's helping us. So it brings out more kids out, more families. Just to know that there's a different side of everybody. We can be tough when it comes to it, but kids always matter. They come first. And that's the way I am, is that kids always come first no matter what.
Well, it's a great picture of a grown man hugging a gigantic, not a little one, a gigantic unicorn. And a Toys for Tots is coming up, and we always want to do our best here at WTAD to support that. And so the Marine Corps League has taken that on for years. And so many children know there is a Santa Claus because of the work that they do. We've only got about a minute left. So, Richard, I'm going to let you close it out. If people need help, if they're feeling suicidal, if they're depressed, if they just don't know where to turn or what to do, what advice do you have for them if they're a veteran out there?
Reach out to your brothers and sisters. Nobody understands better how you feel than your brothers and sisters. So reach out to them, you know, go to the American Legion, go to the VFWs, go to the, you know, join the Marine Corps Leagues, reach out to your fellow, you know, your neighbors that are veterans, and ask them, you know, tell them, I'm having a rough day. Today's not good. I need help. You know, go down, sit down, have a beer with them. Tell them, you know, you can swap stories, you know, with each other. But just reach out. Do not stay in the dark. Do not stay by yourself. Reach out and be with, you know, fellow brothers, fellow sisters, and let them
guide you.
And they will guide you. And Jesus Delgado has done that many a day for people. So he doesn't want to talk about those things, I know, but it's very important. So if you need some help, just stop by the American Legion Hall and you know, have a cup of coffee, have breakfast with them. Tri-State Veterans Support Group, together with Tri-State Veterans, the Veterans Affairs Commission. These are all groups that are there to help you, and they're all run by veterans. These are not people who you know, don't have anything. They want you to be there. Thursday, October 17th is coming up. The Tri-State Veterans Support Veterans Resource Fair. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, at length in days to come. Thank you very much for sharing your hugging a unicorn photo with me, Jesus Delgado.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And thank you, Richard Elson Peter. I don't know what you're going to hug, but whatever it is, I want a picture of it.
He's going to hug me.
And we'll be back to do it all again tomorrow. Thank you.